This is episode number 74 with C.J. Baron. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. What is up, all the greats out there? Thanks so much for tuning in today. I've got a very special guest, my man, Mr. C.J. Baron, who's actually my next door neighbor, who is one of the most talented young producers, music producers out there right now, literally blowing it up with some of the biggest musicians and artists out there and creating some amazing work. I'm very excited about having him on. And I've got some fun stories. We jam late night. He literally lives 20 feet away from me in West Hollywood in our condo building. And I'll tell the story more about how we connected when we jump into this interview. But I am back. Thanks for all the notes, the messages, all of the emails, the tweets, the pictures on Instagram for following me over the last 3 weeks when I was down in Brazil and Uruguay playing with the USA national team. Again, a lot of you know it's my dream to be an Olympian, and it's my dream to represent my country and continue to pursue my athletic pursuits for as long as I can. And I had a great time down in Brazil and Uruguay training and competing, getting to play against Brazil, Uruguay, Mexico, Greenland, and it was just an awesome experience getting to play with my teammates, get down there, and represent my country. So thanks, everyone, for the 2-3 week hiatus from the interviews and from the podcast. A lot of you have been requesting, when are they coming back? So we're finally back, and I'm going to be giving you guys lots of great content here on out, 2-3 episodes a week, and I'm going to be really taking it to the next level with the guests. And this one, again, is with C.J. Baron. Super pumped about this. We're going to dive in and talk about how he really launched his career at such a young age. He was in a band when he was 15, got signed by a major record label, was touring around the country with Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber, and then realized that he didn't want to do that anymore, and he wanted to be more of a producer. So we really talk about how he got his start as a producer, his method for creating art and for creating music, and how he conceptualizes it with these artists, and what he's kind of doing to take his business and brand to the next level. So let's go ahead and dive in. Again, thanks so much for tuning in to this episode with the one and only C.J. Baron.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a realtor can help answer. Because realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what realtors do. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
What is up, everyone? Thanks again for coming on the School of Greatness podcast. I've got a special guest in the house. He's actually the neighbor to my house. Literally lives 20 feet away from me. I feel like we've got a baller hall.
We do. It's a baller hall.
We've got my man CJ Barron in the house right now. What's up, CJ?
What's going on?
And we've got we've got another person across the hall from us, Keely, who was former Miss Teen USA. And we've got some like old vets in here who are like just got cool old stories that like you don't remember some what
just,
they
like,
did.
Absolutely inappropriate stories from what happened on the roof sauna pool
in our building back in the 70s. And I'm very excited. It's interesting. I moved into this place on Doheny in West Hollywood about a year ago, and I'm actually moving out tonight for 6 months while there's construction happening. CJ lived through the construction.
I lived through it.
I don't know how you did it. It was miserable for like the last 6 months. And for the first 6 months living here, I never once saw you. Maybe like once briefly I saw you, but I didn't know who you were. The ghost next door. All I heard was loud music always coming from his apartment, his condo. And eventually, like 6 months in, I finally meet you. I don't even remember how we met. In the elevator or the hallway. Yeah, we started chatting. And then I started learning all about CJ and what he is up to in his life and was blown away at this kid's talent. He's only 24. It seems like he's 30 and has a lifetime of experience already with everything you've been up to. So I'm super pumped that you're on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
I'm excited to rap more with you. We just had a late night jam session last night, like a creative, artistic orgasm of conversation where I try to go over to CJ's once a month or something and learn about all the new things he's up to because it's so interesting. And I want to talk about something you're working on now, then we're going to dive back into kind of like your history. But you're doing this really cool creative project, and let me know if we can talk about
it. Yeah, that's fun.
What's the name of it now?
So it's called Wolf and the Wonder Show.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely a strange project. Think Mike Snow meets MGMT living in a Tim Burton film.
Real whimsical. Interesting. Now, what is it going to be about?
So, I mean, in a nutshell, the story is guy falls in love in New York City. Mm-hmm. Heart gets broken. New York City completely freezes over. And then the rest of it is his kind of journey back to defrost the city when he finds new love. That's, in a nutshell, the story. It goes way deeper and crazier than that. And there's a wizard. And
and the gist of it is it's going to be a live moving performance that you're going to be creating, right? This artistic performance where there's going to be art. It's going to be kind of like an art gallery. We made it sound like it's a haunted house, artistic haunted house with music and art.
Yeah.
That you walk through and you experience with a group of people.
Each song goes in sequence to the story. And the way we're going to set it up is almost like a reprise of everything, where the string section and piano playing through each of the different pieces that you walk through. And then when you get to the top, it'll be a live performance.
Right. Very cool. I love it. And it's going to be good to be performing here in LA, right?
Yeah. It's still
in early stages.
Infant stages, yeah.
But it's going to be one of the coolest things when it comes out. So we were just jamming about this last night for about an hour. Now, I want to talk about your story because I think it's really fascinating what you've been able to create for yourself. When you were a teenager, which is not that long ago, a couple years ago, you were in a band, right? You started the band called Push Play?
Yeah.
Push Play. And I never heard of it, but maybe I heard of some of the songs, but it was a pop teen band, right?
Yeah, it's like a pop rock band, you know, four kids like with ridiculous hair. What was I doing? It's like Rod Stewart meets like Liza Minnelli and Ellen DeGeneres, like electrocuted.
It's amazing. I'm gonna post a picture on the show notes. So make sure everyone checks it out. But how did this band, you know, you guys did some pretty big things. You were young kids in New York City or Long Island, right?
Long Island, yeah.
Long Island. And you know, there's a picture of you in the Macy's Day Parade. I think you told me you opened up for like Bieber or Miley Cyrus or some pretty big names back in the day.
I started the band when I was 15. We kind of like ran his course. We got signed when we were 16 and 17. Did that, like kind of did some touring with Miley and with Bieber. It was fun, you know, but it was over by the time I was 18.
Really?
And we were dropped from Sony. And that's when I was like, okay, well, I love writing. I love producing. I need to just do this. Mm. And then I just kind of tried to teach myself.
You didn't really like performing as much.
I've always loved performing.
Really?
But I love having a home base more. I just don't like to tour.
Yeah. It's a lot of hassle.
It's just a whole stress. It's a whole just different thing. I like to have a home base, like a nook.
Yeah, you're definitely more of like an introverted, like creative mind, I find, from connecting with you. And, you know, you're always in your place just like till 4 a.m. working and grinding. So I can definitely see how you like that. But how did you start this band in the first place? Like you were 15.
Yeah.
And you went to a school for music, is that right?
No, I actually never went to school for music at all. It was just... like four kids who could play instruments like okay. Right. And I was just kind of having fun in the beginning. And then I remember at the time, back in the good old days, MySpace ruled. And we just kind of went hard on that promotion. Really? And I remember even like going to other band shows and like handing out promo cards, which now I'm kind of completely against. But at the time, it was great for what we were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just got us to that next level to get a deal with Sony.
So... how big of an audience did you grow on MySpace?
I don't even remember, man, to be honest. I remember we got to number one on the chart, the MySpace chart.
And that's really?
When we got reached out to by Atlantic and Sony and a couple other people.
So number one on the MySpace, they had their own music label?
Yeah, it was like a little chart they had, like based on views and how much activity was happening.
Of like the best songs or the best bands?
It was actually just like how much traffic was being driven to each. Wow.
So you had the number one.
Yeah, for like 1 week. We were like really high up.
Whoa.
And then we got to one like at the very end of the week.
That's a pretty big deal for MySpace.
Back then, I mean, there's a lot of bands that hit number one. But it was definitely exciting for us. We were like 16 at the time. We're actually 15 at the time. And we were just like, this is cool.
So how did you even
get girls like this?
Yeah, right. So how did you get it to number one? Like, what was your strategy?
I remember this. I remember the minute I'd get home from school, I would sit down on the computer, all of us, on different computers. And we would just start reaching out to people, like hitting the mat and then starting conversations with everyone.
One by one.
One by one. And then creating like a little bit of a, not army, but just, I guess, just fan base, really.
Like a little street team.
Yeah, like a street team. That's a great word for it. And it's great for that kind of thing. But now, like I said, like with other projects, I would never do that again.
Sure.
Because people grow attached. It becomes a thing. And if you don't answer back, then they're like, oh, why aren't you answering me back? And it's just it gets to become a bit of a nightmare.
So you guys were promoting and reaching out one by one, trying to get people to listen to the links on MySpace and listen to your music. And then they were kind of sharing it with their friends or talking about it as well. Or what were they doing?
Yeah, it just kind of grew that way.
Yeah.
And I remember we did the first slew of shows we did were these high school shows.
Really?
Where we would just play on like a Friday night at a high school in the auditorium.
And kids would come.
And kids would come and just hang out. It started out so small, like 15 people would show up.
Wow.
And we were like, double digits. Then it kind of grew from there.
Wow.
Just organically.
So how did you even like practice? Were you guys have like a garage in your parents' house?
Yeah, garage in like all of our parents' houses. Yeah, that's how we would just alternate.
Was it pretty much every day after school you got together and you played?
Every single day.
And were you pretty much writing a lot of the songs, or were you guys writing them together?
We did some songs that we wrote together, some songs that I wrote by myself, which is kind of all over the place. But
wow. And then, so, you know, for me, I went to go play sports every day, but you went to go play music and play with your bandmates.
Mainly because I was just so completely unathletic. Like, I remember I tried out for the football team, and I got cut, like, immediately.
Wow.
And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna play guitar.
I'm going to get girls a different way.
Yeah, I got to figure out how I'm going to do this.
That's awesome, man. So, basically, 1 year after you kind of launched on MySpace, hit number one, right then... who found you and signed you?
So we were taking meetings with a bunch of labels at the time.
Wow.
We met with Atlantic, and we ended up going with Wind Up Records through Sony. It's like an imprint on Sony.
Sure.
And they were great. I mean, a really great team. They pushed one of our songs to radio. It got to number, I think it peaked at 36 on American radio.
That's great.
And yeah. But I mean, it feels like it was a dream. Like it happened.
Well, so quick, right?
So quick. And like, I don't even think about it anymore. I don't even really remember it, to be honest, which is crazy.
Because you were 15 when you started, then 16 you got signed, then 17 or 18 you got dropped, right?
Yeah, it was like right when I got out of high school. I deferred from college, and we did like our second like tour.
Right.
And
when you started going around with Bieber and Miley and kind of like doing a bigger tour.
Yeah, and that was
opening up, right?
Like a real tour, yeah. And that was when...
you had like a tour bus and the whole deal.
Yeah, the whole bus, like sleeping on that, which I miss actually. That's the only thing about tour I miss.
The bus.
There's something about being in a bus in a bunk that's kind of like a coffin. That I know this sounds weird, but the way the bus moves, it just knocks you out.
Yeah.
I had the best sleeps of my life.
Wow.
On a tour bus.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And was it like your parents go with you, or was it more
The kids? We were all 18 at that time, so we were just on our own.
And they were all down for it?
Yeah, everyone was down. There was one tour manager who was kind of like the dad.
The house parent.
On the road. He was like a terrible dad.
The chaperone.
Letting us drink and...
No.
We had fun. I had my own college experience.
Right. So that lasted for about, a few months or 6 months on the road?
It was like 3 months.
3 months.
Yeah.
And then
we got back and then did another 3 months on the road, really? Just on our own. Just a headlining tour, and like small
like
clubs.
Like 500 people.
Yeah, like 500 to 1,000 cap rooms every night, just all over the place.
To try to keep building momentum and create another record or whatever?
Yeah, that was just to kind of just promote the record that we had. And we were stopping off at radio stations. That's when, at the time, the song was called Midnight Romeo. And that's what we were...
Midnight Romeo.
That was a song that was at radio. Wow. So we were just kind of going to all the stations and promoting it and doing like the 6 a.m. recordings at the stations to do the acoustic.
Sure.
The whole thing.
That's cool. We'll link that in the... if we can find it anywhere online, we'll link it in the show notes as well.
Good luck with that.
I'll find somewhere on SoundCloud remix version. That's cool. All right. So you had your kind of musical experience on the road when you're a teenager, and you kind of got a taste for what the business was like.
Yeah.
And you put in all your hours working with the band, you kind of made your break, got signed, you got a taste of what that was like. You probably didn't make too much at that
level. Yeah, I mean, it was just like the initial advance.
Sure.
Which was that. So I was just, at that time I was 19 and had just been dropped from my first major label deal.
But most people don't get a major label deal ever. So 19 is pretty cool.
So I remember just being like, okay, well, I could go to college, but I know what I want to do. I want to be producing. I want to be writing songs. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people now in California if I just moved out there. So I just...
From touring, from the connections. Just from touring and like the band.
A lot of... We did our record in LA. So I met a lot of people here.
Right.
And I just moved straight out here and I started apprenticing for the producer that did my band.
Really?
At the time, yeah. So his name is Matt Squire. Yeah, he's done anything from Panic at the Disco to Boys Like Girls, 303, a lot of those scene bands at that time.
Sure.
So I came out and I worked for him for a while. He's a really good dude. He was a great mentor.
So he basically would just throw you projects or say, hey, edit this song or create me a hook for this or write some lyrics for this and then see what you can do.
Exactly, that kind of thing. It was mainly track work at that time. Okay. I wasn't really in the writing sessions. I was just building tracks, making synth hooks, things like that.
Making cool sounds.
Just getting weird, basically. Yeah. Just getting weird in my place. And then at that time, so I was living in Santa Monica then. And then I moved. I signed my first publishing deal to Pulse.
How old were you?
I was 21.
So 2 years later, after being...
Yeah, it's a year and a half. Year and a half later, I met with Scott Cutler and Josh Abraham, who own Pulse. And I remember I was a little bit resilient to go forth with the signing. I didn't know if I wanted to give it up, because to me it was my publishing was my second virginity.
It's your life.
I was I'm not giving this up right now. It's I don't know. And everyone was like, no, just hold on to it, man. But they knocked on my door one night at 10 p.m.
in Santa Monica?
No, here.
No way.
Yeah, it's when I first moved. And they knocked on my... they were at Soho House. And they knocked on my door, they're like, you have to sign. I was like, what?
Oh, my God.
And I love it. In a good way, though. It was just
they're like, we want you.
Yeah, you'd be making a great decision if you joined the team. And right then and there, I was like, okay, that's ballsy. I love it.
Wow.
And I signed with them.
Wow. Okay. And so are you allowed to talk about what the deal is or what it was or...
Yeah, I mean, it was just...
a publishing deal where they...
The way publishing deals work, I mean, it's different for everybody, but it's usually based on MDRC. So you get X amount of money as an advance, and then you have to fulfill... 300, I mean, it's different for everyone. For me, it was 300% per term. And then that would get you to the next advance and blah, 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 on and on and on. So 300%, say I write a song with three people and it's split down the middle or, three ways. It's 33.3% of my 300%. And that only happens, it only counts if the song is cut by a major label artist and released.
Sure, jeez.
Which is the trick. Because a lot of things will get cut and then just never released. And they will just sit on your hard drive.
Well, I know I was in your place last night and just saw a list of 100 songs that you've worked on in the last 5 years that aren't on radio right now, right? They're just sitting there.
Just literally, it's cut with the artist and supposed to come out. You know, you don't know.
And
you see.
Can you talk about some of the artists that you've worked with, that you've cut stuff for that hasn't come out? Some of the more recognized names?
Yeah, I mean, I did a song. I did some production work on a song for One Direction that ended up getting leaked.
Oh, so then it didn't go on the record.
So it didn't go on the record. Yeah, it got leaked, and I think it's on YouTube now. It's got like 6 million views or something crazy like that. And I was like, ugh. So them, a lot of stuff with like Carly Rae. But I mean, that stuff's going to come out.
Yeah. It's just, so there's stuff that's like waiting.
Yeah, it's like a lot of it is just like pipeline.
Yeah.
It's like you just keep filling up the pipeline, and then eventually it's just going to spill out.
It's going to come out eventually.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's the long pipe.
But for like, you know, a couple of years, you have stuff waiting, just sitting there that's a finish, that's an awesome song, and it's not out yet.
Yeah. I mean, I've had songs that I've had on my hard drive for 2 years now that just got cut.
Really?
Yeah. And I forget about them. And like, luckily, like Pulse has all that stuff in the finger. Like, example, I wrote this Christmas song as a joke. I guess not this past Christmas, the Christmas before, like when I first signed with them. Thought nothing of it. Have not even looked at that song.
Right.
And it's now going to be in this new like Tina Fey movie. Christmas movie coming out. Yeah, it's coming Christmas, and I just totally forgot about it.
Okay.
That's what happens. Like,
and so the publishing team, they're really kind of shopping the songs for you and kind of getting the placement, either with the artists or with the movies or the radio, you know, whatever it may be, right?
Exactly.
It's kind of their job. So it's kind of nice to have a team that supports you and gets the stuff out there where you can just be creative and work on what you do best.
Yeah, Pulse is amazing too. Like really good.
Nice. So you've been with them for 5 years now?
I was 21. Like, okay, so 21, so 3 years.
Wow, that's a pretty good experience.
Yeah, I mean, they are awesome. That's everybody there, so cool. The environment's amazing. It's based in Silver Lake,
right?
And they have like this really tranquil office / studio space. It's really nice.
That's cool. Very cool.
Range Rover Sport leads by example. Picture this: assertive on-road performance meets commanding all-terrain capability. That's the third generation Range Rover Sport, which is the most desirable, advanced, and dynamically capable one yet. This vehicle redefines sporting luxury, offering an instinctive drive with engaging on-road dynamics and effortless composure. Now available in sleek new Stealth Pack, Carpathian gray exterior wrapped in satin protective film with black accents and black brake calipers. Inside the Range Rover Sport, advanced cabin technologies like active noise cancellation and cabin air purification offer new levels of comfort and refinement. And let's not forget about the award-winning Pivi Pro infotainment system. Enjoy a dynamic drive and total comfort with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Wow, that's like a spa day while on the go. Design your Range Rover Sport at LandRoverUSA.com. One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And they're sending you artists to work with too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're sending you artists, but you also work with another producer that you work with as well. And how does that work with Pulse?
So I have a joint venture with another producer. So it's basically they kind of split the publishing, and I work with him on whatever. So he'll do a project, a block out for a week with one artist,
right?
And then everybody on the team will work for a week, get songs going, And then if any of them are great and the label likes them and he likes them and the artist likes them, then
right.
we'll all finish them together.
Sure.
You know, that kind of scenario.
Yeah. And this is with the producer, his name is Max, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And how did you get connected with Max originally to work on some of this? Because he works with some of the biggest names out there. But how did you get connected originally?
Yeah, I mean, he's been my idol since I was 13.
Wow.
Like songwriting and producing idol. And I was working on a band signed to Republic at the time. Mm-hmm. And their A&R was friends with his manager. And I guess he was looking for LA-based track guys that also do top line, which is melody and lyric. And she introduced me to him like straight up on an email.
Wow.
And I heard nothing for 3 weeks. I didn't expect anything. Sure. I was like, this is like way, I'm way over my head.
Did you ask for an introduction or she just made the intro?
She asked me if I'd be interested. And I was like, what? Yeah.
Of course.
I'm definitely. So I sent a private SoundCloud link uh-huh. of like stuff that I was working on, tracks and weirdness. And I heard nothing for 3 weeks. And then I forgot about it. I was like, all right, whatever. Wow. And then I got a call like 3 weeks later from an unknown number. And it was his manager.
Wow.
He's like, can you come to Sunset Marquee tomorrow at noon to meet? Met with him, chatted like the coolest dude ever. Then I'm leaving. I'm in the parking lot. And I don't really know exactly how it went. I was like, oh, maybe that was just like a meet. I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And he called me back. And he was like, I want you to come back tomorrow at noon, you know, to meet with Max. And I met with him. We chatted for like 2 hours just about his whole history. I was just so, I was just like all over it. I was like, I know exactly what you did in 2000, like that crazy Nick Carter song that nobody heard about. Like it was nuts. Like the melody, and all of that.
That's hilarious.
So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So he basically, after that meeting, he was like, I want to work with you. Like, let's try it out. Or?
Yeah, we tried it out. We did a couple of things together and I worked on some track stuff.
And he was impressed enough to bring you on.
He was like, yeah, this makes sense. Like this could be cool. And then they sorted out a situation between the two of them and that was that.
And what was that like at 20, what were you, 23 then or?
23, yeah.
23, working with like one of your biggest idols as a producer.
I was freaking out. I remember the first time I went into work, I think I was like breaking out in hives.
Wow.
I was like sweating and then my hard drive didn't turn on. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I'm really fired.
I'm so done. And then I was like, oh wait, the power switch is off. Damn it.
Nice, so man. Like that. That's hilarious. And the cool thing about this experience is you really get to work with some awesome, inspiring artists. And like the level of great artists continue to increase for you. You know, the more jobs you work on, you get to grow as an artist yourself. But then that team, his team, is trusting you with their artists, which are some of the biggest names. And it's really cool how it's progressing in your, you know.
It's been really, really great. Yeah. I feel like I've only come into, I guess, my own as a producer in the past year and a half max.
And I feel like you're just scratching the surface still.
Yeah, me too. I feel like I'm literally...
5-10 years, you're going to be a machine.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like in 5-10 years, I'm going to look back at stuff I was doing today and be like,
oh, laughing.
Terrible.
Yeah. How did that song even make it?
Yeah, exactly.
So. Wow. That's crazy, man. What a life experience at 24 to be where you're at. And, to be creating what you're creating with the type of the caliber of people you're with, and it's pretty inspiring.
Thank you, man.
It's really cool.
I feel like I'm 40 though. I don't feel like I'm 24.
Yeah, well, because you're in your apartment all day, that's just it. Grinding away, creating beats.
Well, pretty soon I will have to work just strictly in my apartment, which will be great.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
You know, I love my apartment, but I gotta kind of get out.
Yeah. And the cool thing about you, which correct me if I'm wrong, you have a very unique talent because you can. You write a lot of the songs, you can play a lot of the instruments, like the actual instruments, but you can also just create them on a synthesizer,
right.
All the instruments. You edit the songs, you do like everything that a producer can do and then a musician can do, a writer can do. And that's like almost like a triple threat, I would think, right? That's like a label's dream to have someone to be able to do all those things together.
I feel like that's kind of what's happening now just in the music business. Like it's almost becoming the norm. Like you're expected to be able to engineer your sessions, you know, edit a vocal properly, play every instrument, record every instrument, you know, and produce. I feel like it's become expected now.
Really? You can't just be a singer?
I mean, you can. I mean, there's no rules, but I feel like for producers, you kind of have to
do it all
right now, at least in the current frame.
10 years ago, you could just be one.
Just be awesome at one thing, which I think maybe also is the reason why some of the music in the 80s or even the 90s, like I don't know, maybe I'm just being biased about it because I love that music, yeah. but it just sonically sounds a little bit better, is a little bit cleaner and warmer, because you had people that studied their whole lives just strictly learning how to mic up a drum set.
Wow.
You know, now it's like, I'm like, you know, it's like 2 inches from the skin. That should be cool.
Right, right. Or you're just using a drum beat machine.
Yeah, or I'm just like programming it on my laptop.
Yeah.
It's always something like that.
That's crazy, man. That's pretty, I mean, I don't know too many other people that can do what you do. I don't know. Do you have other people that can do everything you do?
There's definitely some producers out there. A bunch of producers that can do. Yeah. It's just a bunch of like nerds.
Really?
I'm totally like, I found myself yesterday morning looking at a page. I was studying the sub frequencies of a bass note so I could tune the kick drum to it. And I looked at the page and I was like, what am I doing? I was like, when did I get so like nerdy?
You're like, why aren't I chasing girls right now?
Yeah. I was like, I'm looking at sub frequencies of this kick drum and I'm spending an hour tuning it.
Wow. When you want to master your craft, that's what you do. You pay attention to the details. So that's why you've gotten to where you are, and that's why you're so successful, and that's why you're going to continue to be successful, which I think is really cool. I think it's a, you know, as a someone who wishes they were on Glee, secretly wishes I was on Glee. I love like the whole singing and the music stuff. My brother is arguably the number one jazz violinist in the world, so he tours all around. He played with Les Paul for 10 years in Times Square. And, you know, travels all around the world. My sister's extremely talented singer-songwriter. My parents were opera majors. And I really can't do any of that stuff. I'm more of the athlete of the family. But I appreciate the art for what it is and that's really so wild. Admire people that can create artistic music in the way that you do or any type of music. So I just think it's such a gift and a talent of what you have and my brother and, you know, parents have. And it's like, that's why I always come over to CJ's place late at night. I'm like, dude, what have you been creating? I want to hear all this stuff. I think it's like the coolest thing in the world because I secretly want to be on Glee. So
that's so funny. We literally have the opposite family setup. Nobody in my family except for my grandpa is in music.
Really?
Played music.
They're all like jocks.
Yeah, athletic. I'm just so not. I play basketball like terribly. And then everything else, just like, I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah.
So bad.
You got cut from the football team.
Oh, yeah. I got cut from every team. I think I got cut from the track team. Like, I don't even know how that's possible. Yeah. But I did.
Well, it's a good thing you got cut because you got a gift with this. And it's cool because, you know, CJ's not really online too much. You can go to, I'll have some links in here for his Twitter account, Instagram account. Make sure to follow him over there. And I'll put up images of his crazy Rod Stewart hair days when he was 15, 16 in the boy band. But you can also check out, I guess you have a page over at pulserecordings.com, I think. Mm-hmm. But there's not really much music of yours online. Is that right? Do you even have SoundCloud with your music?
No, I kind of like to keep under the radar. Like all my favorite producers are they stay under the radar.
Yeah. All your best stuff is on your hard drive.
It's all my hard drive.
It's crazy, man. It's so
all
crazy.
Chilling in there.
But it's like some of the songs are starting to come out, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a few things
trickling out now.
You did some stuff with Cody Simpson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of a young up-and-coming star. And
yeah, so did his last single that came out. And, you know, he's in Europe right now touring, but he'll be back in 2 weeks, and we're going to kind of finish up what we've been doing on his record.
Right.
So it's been really fun.
It's very cool. Yeah. And you're working with some other big names who are, you know, you said Carly Rae Jepsen right now, you're working with her, putting out her next record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the whole thing or most of it.
Dude, I have a few songs on it.
Yeah. Very cool.
Which would be fun. She's so talented.
Is she?
Yeah. Like ridiculous.
She's not just a one hit wonder.
I don't think so at all. I mean, I think that song was massive. It was genius,
but
she's so good lyrically, like in the studio, vocally, everything just
really.
Yeah. And as a person, it's awesome.
Wow. Very cool. Who's the most talented artist you worked with so far?
That's tough. That is tough.
Or maybe a couple people that you're like, wow, this person's actually not just what their image is like in the world, but they're actually really musically talented or so gifted that it was like, whoa, it kind of shocked you that you're like around them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Adam Lambert was absolutely amazing. Like vocally,
really?
Like just as you would expect.
Yeah. I heard the song that you guys did, obviously, the other night, but it was like, this guy's got a voice, man.
He's got a voice, and he knows what he wants. You know, he knows himself. He knows what he is, and he just owns it. So he was amazing. I love collaborating with. Have you ever met Ben Romans yet?
I don't think so.
He's the other half of my crazy weird project thing.
Okay.
And
yeah, you mentioned him.
He used to be in a band called the Click 5 years ago that was very successful.
Uh-huh.
But he is one of my favorite people to write with as well. He's just crazy musically talented.
Wow.
Write a symphony just because he's bored and like score it out and like have all the parts written.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, tell me what it's like when you're creating a song from scratch. So when one of the people that you're working with is like, okay, here's an artist, here's Adam Lambert, or here's Carly Rae Jepsen, or here's whoever, like, go. How does it work when you guys get together? How do you craft a song with them? Because you write a lot of the songs with some of these artists. So how does that process actually work?
It depends on every single song's different.
Yeah.
Some songs I might just get inspired by myself and get weird alone at night. And it usually starts on a piano and a loop, like one quick drum loop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just start scatting. The one thing that always stays the same is I do lyrics last.
Really?
Last, always. I never start with, unless it's like one word or one hook that the chorus is going to be, or like the concept of the song.
That you have or the artist has, or like, yeah, oh, let's whoever about it is. This. Like,
yeah.
Here's a cool line or something.
Like, oh, let's call the song Cigarette. And then, and then, you know, I'll figure it right. out. And but it's strictly gibberish. So once the chords are in, then I'll put the loop on with like one drum loop and one instrument, whether it's a pad, a guitar, a piano, and then I'll just pace around the room and just sing straight up gibberish.
Like la 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 la.
Like yeah, just melodies, just weird melodies. And I have my phone on record, and then I'm like, okay, that one was good. I'm like, oh, that one was terrible. And then I'll just kind of piece them apart. And that's like the first step of it, getting them all in there.
You put the chords down first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you come up with the chords yourself. You're kind of like, here's what this could be.
Exactly. It's messing around. So it's a work in progress. It might change. But that's how it starts. And then the melody is second.
Okay.
And once the melody is in there, then that's when I start getting kind of like a little bit weird with the math of it, which is, I mean, there are no rules.
Sure.
But I have like certain things that I like to do. Like if the chorus is going to start on one, then I'm going to make sure the pre-chorus does not start on one and the verse does not start on one.
Mm.
It starts on the end or on two.
Yeah.
And it helps build the energy, especially if like the verse starts on two, the pre starts on the upbeat, and then the chorus, the first thing to hit on the downbeat, it'll make that chorus erupt.
Wow.
A little more strong.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just one little thing that I like to do a lot.
Huh. Now, how did you come up with this kind of method? Was it something you learned from another producer you worked with?
Yeah, I think just working with a ton of different people, you pick up on little things. And
is this what other people do as well, like kind of similar? Or
some people think I'm crazy. Some people are like, you are too formulated. Like, what are you doing?
Really?
Yeah.
And too formulaic? Is that what you said?
Yeah. And I just don't believe there's any actual like key.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe there is, but yeah. I don't have it.
Sure.
And I think it's just a bunch of experimentation.
Wow. Interesting. And so after that's done, then you come up with the lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I just fill in the blanks like Scrabble.
You come up with like the notes for it. You're like, la, 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 la.
Yeah, la, la, la. And that could be like, dun, 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 dun. I really want a sandwich or whatever. Like, it could be whatever it is.
Right.
And yeah, but it always starts with gibberish melody for me.
Interesting. And then you write the lyrics and you put it all together.
Yeah, and then it's just making sure that everything, you know, is phonetically correct and sounds good.
Right. Yeah. Wow. And it could take a couple hours, or it could take weeks, right? Weeks,
yeah.
To do one song.
I mean, I've spent weeks on songs before.
Really?
And like,
and the artist will come with you and just meet with you for the whole time, pretty much. Or wow, just stuck in a studio.
Yeah, generally it's like it's 2 days. I usually block out 2 days for like per song with whoever I'm working with.
Like 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. or longer. Or?
I usually start like noon and go till whenever, like 10, 11, for like the first writing day, and the second day we'll come back.
And then do you come back at night and kind of work out on yourself?
Yeah, yeah, I always.
That's when you're up till like 4 a.m.?
Yeah, so I come back and that's when I start doing all the editing and like piecing it together.
Wow.
Or I work on other things that I'm way late on.
Right.
Because I'm just behind on everything always at all times.
And then you come back the next day and kind of like try to tighten it up and see, does this work?
Exactly.
Let's listen to it again with fresh ears.
Mm-hmm. It's the fresh ear thing, and I really believe in that.
Wow. Interesting. And so you do this a number of times with a lot of different artists, but you said before, like some of the stuff may not come out ever.
Yeah,
maybe years.
Ever sometimes. I mean, I've plenty of times I've worked with artists and they've been like, oh, I love this. Like, I can't wait to put it out. And then it just doesn't come out. Whether there's problems with the label or the label doesn't like it or whatever it is, it just won't come out.
But they may love it though, the artist.
Yeah, and they may love it and it might not matter. It's just every situation is different.
Wow.
But yeah, that's happened to me quite a few times.
Wow. That's got to be really frustrating though.
It is, yeah, but you've got to keep trucking on. You can't cerebralize. You just have to just keep moving and don't let anything bother you.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, what's your ultimate dream then? What's your goal for this business or your life in this business?
I just want to keep on doing what I'm doing right now with production and eventually be able to create my own company where I can sign writers and producers to it and then kind of have everything be self-sustainable in one.
So you basically want to be, you know, Max at some point where you're kind of like have your own team.
And that's like the ultimate dream. But
where you have like artists coming to you.
Yeah.
And then you you work on, you have your team working on the initial stuff, and you're kind of going in and like, that doesn't sound good, that sounds good, change this, change that.
Exactly.
You're putting together the deals.
I like having a communal environment.
That's cool.
On things. And I think, yeah, I would love to have something like that where not a lot of people, just, you know, two or three people.
That's cool.
That also do the same thing and have us all working together and critiquing each other.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Wow. That's the dream.
I like it. How far away do you think you are? How many years?
I have my 10-year plan, so we'll see. See if that folds out.
There you go. Nice. Very cool, man. Well, want to wrap it up with the final question. This is a question I ask all my guests. Mm-hmm. So you're in good company, but it's, what is your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's being able to wake up every single morning excited about what you're doing,
mm-hmm,
and then go to bed feeling completely content.
There you go.
That's it.
I love it. Where can we, where's the best place to connect with you? Instagram or Twitter?
I mean, I rarely use my Twitter. Instagram, I'm on it. I'm trying to not be on it as much.
Yeah.
There's only so many plates of spaghetti that like you can actually look at before you're losing your mind.
Or selfies.
So, or selfies. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we both love those now. yeah.
So what are you, at CJ Barron?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, cool. I'll link it up in the show notes. CJ, I'll make sure to tell everyone to go watch the weird art production when it comes out,
yes,
in LA.
Please.
It may be a few months, it may be a year. Who knows?
We don't know.
But I'll make sure to spread the word. And if people want to listen to any of your music, how can they? Do they just have to wait until something comes out on the radio?
Exactly.
Follow you on Instagram. And you'll post about it.
I usually post about what's coming out.
Like the artist you're working with.
Yep.
You've got pictures with, like, you know, Carly Rae in the studio and all these other artists sometimes. Yeah. So you'll be promoting it, letting people know when stuff comes out.
Exactly.
Awesome. I appreciate
it, man. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on, bro.
Take care.
And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with CJ. Again, check out the show notes over at lewishowes.com/74 to see some of the cool stuff that CJ has done, what he's working on. Check out the image of his crazy hair from back in the pop band boy days, back when he was a teenager, and learn how you can stay in tune with the cool art project that he has coming up in the future. So we'll have it all over at the show notes over at lewishowes.com/74. Again, it's a pleasure to be back in the States and recording episodes for this podcast. Thanks to all of you loyal fans for sticking around for a couple weeks while we didn't have any new episodes. But make sure, if you're just joining us, to go ahead and download and listen to some of the past episodes. And again, we've got 74 great episodes from some of the most inspiring men and women all over the world doing amazing, incredible things. Check them all out over at lewishowes.com. Please subscribe over on iTunes, or check it out over on soundcloud.com/lewishowes, over on Stitcher, and everywhere you can listen to podcasts online. So thanks so much again for tuning in, everyone. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
From that starting point, I've never forgotten those things. Like you said, you never forget those true things that you stick to, your basic things that you know, make you successful. And for me, it's that truth, finding that truth, the truth of the moment of where I am at the time. You know, not trying to cater to a certain demographic. You know, not being something I'm not driving a truck over a bridge, Tim Valley, you know, the whole thing. Like, there's so many similarities What you do need is emotional stability. You have to be able to think independently, and you have to be. When you come to a conclusion, you have to really not care what other people say, and just follow the facts and follow your reasoning, and that's tough for a lot of people. That part, I think I was just lucky with. I was born that way. I think that really is much more important, frankly, than having a few points of IQ or having an extra course or two in school or anything of the sort. You need emotional stability.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. to move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.